my sincere apologies.
No, no problem.
So
if it's not cool.
No, if it's cool, then yeah. Because you do have kids that take maths, because my friends take maths, and it's an in thing, and it's mm-hmm. all wonderful and great. But my interest doesn't really lie there.
Mm-hmm.
My interest is there because my friends are there.
Mm-hmm.
Until
so
I start getting,
the wrong reason.
Yeah, I start getting ones and twos because, and then eventually I give up because, well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work for me, so that's why.
No, I agree. So you think maybe it's just that work ethic that's probably lacking?
Very much. Very much. You do get the kid that really works hard. Still struggles with math, but they're willing to work.
Yes.
And then you get the kid that has got the brain, but it's just, why must I?
No motivation.
Mm. Why should I bother?
Mm.
That's the sad part. But
yeah.
It's true. It's the reality.
No, that is true. The next question. What do you define as qualities of a good mathematics teacher?
I'm going to be very honest with you. I have no idea. Because I didn't have good role models.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being very honest. The one person that really made a huge impact on me is Miss Titus's sister.
Okay.
That I had in Gribbel. She was also fresh from college, but she was brilliant. You know, she gave me that oomph. And then the following year, I got someone else. And I went from an A student to a D student.
Mm.
So to me, it was me being back at school, actually giving maths, is because of that experience. Because I realized that had that person approached it differently, everything would have been different. My view on maths would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
And your actual attitude, your method, your manner, your way of doing things does have an influence on how the child perceives mathematics, whether you like to admit it or not. So like, you get teachers that say, you know what, I don't like this part. And unfortunately, the kids are going to end up not liking it as well. And it's sad, but it is the reality, because your whole demeanor, your whole approach towards it does have an influence. Some kids can work right through it. It doesn't even bother them. It doesn't phase them at all. But some kids, my miss don't like it, so I'm not, also not going to like it anymore. So they adopt your style. They adopt your way of teaching.
They basically become like teachers themselves.
And they also sift through what they think is nice to do and not so nice to do. So yeah, it's like at this moment I'm creating my own style. I'm still developing my own way of doing things, and I bounce a lot of ideas off them because I need them also to say, can't we do it this way? Well, can we do your method? You don't always have to do mine. Come explain your method. I like this one's idea. Come, we do this.
Yes.
Because I want them to feel that it's not just about me. I don't make the maths class. Yes, I am here, but ultimately it's about them.
It's a group effort.
Yeah, so I try. I don't always succeed. I know I don't always succeed, but you know, you're not going to know if you don't try.
No, that is true. That is true. My next question, I think, will probably be very easy for you, says, what do you feel separates you from other mathematics teachers?
Oh, I don't know. I try to stay as relevant to the here and now as I can. And I know for a lot of my kids, dwindling away from the actual maths irritates them, but sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to in a class setup, because you, not everyone is a Walter, not everyone is a Brenda, not everyone is a Ashley. You have a Kirtley that will just sit there and not say a word, but you need to bring Kirtley into the classroom. You need to take him out of his zone.
Yes, and put him in this zone.
You know, Kirtley's sleeping today. Come. And you wake him up and you say something silly, and you understand? So you adapt to what is here and how you want to get them engaged and get them involved. Because ultimately, it is what you were taught at campus when you say, a child is going to excel at something that he or she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you try to do is you get them to that point where they...
to love it like how you love it.
And then they will say, you know what, let me try.
Mm.
That's all I want them to do. I want them to get to the point where like, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to try.
Yes.
That's what I want. Because once you try, you realize, but I'm not so bad at this.
Yes.
And maybe I can do better. And
yes.
Maybe I can excel at it. You take it from
yes.
there.
Yes. So. Well, that is true. So then you would say the thing that definitely differs you from other teachers would be your ability, would you say, to almost relate to your learners and their current events?
I have to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might think that it is unnecessary, but it's not. With our kids of today, if you are not relatable and relevant, they don't respond at all.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, and I've had, come to think about it, since you've been sitting in my class, I've had various teachers from other classes come and sit in my class.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wish the kids could respond to me the way they respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them are English and some of them are life science, and they'll just sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will watch the same kids in their class,
mm-hmm.
being completely different in my class.
Yeah.
But again, it's something that I work really hard on. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel it comes naturally to you, or do you feel you have to be very aware of it? Or do you feel it just comes naturally to you to teach in that type of manner?
It's only natural because I've been, I think because I came from a different setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been in teaching for years. I've been in other workplaces. So it's a style that I adopt there, mm-hmm. and I brought it with me. So when I teach, it's now, it's part of me. It's part of how
it's a skill
I do
you
things.
Brought from another area.
And it helps coming from a different setup where mm-hmm. things are done differently, where mm-hmm. courses are presented in a different way. And you learn so much when you look at things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because I look at some of the teachers and I say, you know what, I look at you and you make me tired. You just, your energy makes me tired. I say, but because I come from a different background. Mm. I come from a different place.
And the kids need that energy.
Yes, and funny enough, a lot of people will say, you're probably the loudest math teacher we've ever heard. But it's not about being loud. It's not about being different. It's about just getting them engaged.
Mm-hmm. And whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. If it means that we are going to sing Jerusalem for 5 minutes before we start, we're going to do something just to get them up and running and mm-hmm. ready. Because I've got a new class now, a small 10D class.
Okay.
About 11 kids or so. Those kids didn't say a single word when they walked into my class. Because they had no idea how to respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to make my class interactive.
Yes.
And I needed to pull out all the stops to get them to the point where they will say, but can we do this one again? You know,
yes.
I just need to get them to the point where they work on the board.
Yes.
That is going to take some time, but yes. I'm getting them to the point where
yes.
I can say, okay, what are we doing today? Miss,
yeah.
this one. Miss, I didn't understand. At least they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took a while, a couple of weeks. When did I get them? Sometime beginning September.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there now. But I also realized that they've got a great backlog compared to the other kids that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm still working on the backlog, and I'm still working on the attitude, and I'm still working on the positive mindset.
Yeah.
And I'm still worried about the curriculum that's so
yes.
far behind. That, yeah. But we'll make it work. I promise you, we'll make it work. Don't ask me how, but we'll make it work.
But that's great. It leads into my next question. Because you're here now with this question, how you basically summed it up. It says, what do you define as a supportive teacher-learner relationship?
You make it work. You find a way to make it work. It's for me, I'll give them support they need, but I don't know what they need if they don't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do what we can. I'm beyond flexible, and I do what I can. That's pretty much it. It sounds like big words when you say, you know, I'm a good listener. I'm trying to be there for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all words when
when they're in the classroom and they don't understand.
Yeah.
And then it's just words to
yeah.
them. To them it's just words. It's just a matter of... But when they see the difference is when you actually, you look at their book and you say, okay, you didn't do my work. I'm not going to climb the walls. I won't throw you off the balcony. Or we're going to make this work. Because you need to understand this. And you actually take out the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you help them and you show them.
Mm-hmm. So having that personal one-on-one interaction.
This is what we need to do. And get them to the point where they realize that I cannot sit there and expect everything to come to me.
Yes.
I need to come to the party and then the party will help me.
Yes.
So yeah. And finding that balance is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely hard. But it is obtainable. And that's the sad part. Because amongst all the wonderful things you can do for the kids, there's the reality. What do they go home to? What happens at home? Is there someone that helps? Is there someone that supports? Or is there someone that says, put your books away, you must first do this, you must first do that, you must walk the kids, you must go to the shop. You know, so in between their reality, whatever goes on at home, you need to find that golden middle. So that when they hear, they realize, I'm still a kid, I still have my teacher to support me, but I also need to be an adult when that bell rings this afternoon. Because when I go home, I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
So that's hard.
So you would say it's about, if I have to just summarize how or what you define as a supportive teacher-learner relationship, would you say then it comes down to there being that personal one-on-one touch where you can sort of look at your learner and like you said, like for example, you mentioned curtly where you can see, I know exactly what to say or how to interact that will actually cause him to actually become involved in this lesson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and that to me is key.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is key. So, whatever we need to do, we need to do.
Yeah.
Find that golden rule.
Okay. Then I believe, the next question says, how would you describe your relationship with your mathematics learners?
My relationship? I would say very complicated.
Okay.
Because a lot of them fear me.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that I come across very strongly and very strict.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get to know me, you know, they realize, you know what, yeah, she is strict to a point, but she can also be flexible. So. As complicated as I am as a person, they do know that I am accessible. And I'll be fair, and I will listen. Whether it seems like my face says I'm gonna kill you, I will listen to you. But it takes time, you know. It takes time for kids to trust you to that point where they know. You know, I can speak, we can relate, we can talk. And it's a fine balancing act. I'm telling you, it's hard. I mean, I've been with Ashley them since grade 10. But there's still hiccups. There's still times when they feel they can't talk to me. There's you know, there's still issues. There's still, I scream at them. And sometimes I do, because I feel you've known me for 3 years. You should know by now what I expect of you.
Yes.
And you need to get to that point where you realize that don't get too comfortable with me. Because once you leave the school, the world out there is going to be a cruel place. So you need to be able to learn some, you know, get that skill of dealing with how you react when someone is suddenly too abrupt or too cruel or just on your case and wanting results. Then you need to be able to learn how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So
would you then say your current relationship with your mathematics learners, would you say it's a bit uneasy at the moment?
Yes, at the moment, very. Especially with my grade 12s. My grade 11s, not that much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think some of them are still stuck in COVID. They're very laid back, very relaxed. They don't realize my yelling and screaming is because I'm stressed.
Yeah.
So they're very chilled at the moment. But my grade 12s, it's very uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm expecting a lot and they feel I'm being unreasonable and I'm being too hard.
Yeah.
And I'm being difficult.
Yeah.
I actually want them to feel that way. Because it's going to force them to get out of their comfort zone. Because they've been in a comfort zone for 3 years. They got used to my style of teaching, my way of doing things, and.
Yeah.
We're in a COVID situation where everything has been turned upside down.
Yes,
so we cannot do things the way we used to. We need to find our new normal.
Yeah.
And that our new normal is currently giving them a lot of work. A lot.
Then my next question says, how do you go about creating a supportive relationship with your learners? How do you go about creating that relationship with them, that supportive relationship?
That's a tough one. I think just by being there, you know, just by being present, letting them know that no matter what, yes, we may disagree, but I'll be there, I'll help you where I can. You know, it's ultimately what they need of you that they decide. If they need you just for maths, that's their decision. If they need you for anything else, they need to be able to know that besides school, there are other things.
Yeah.
So it's basically your level of importance to them is their need of you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is not work related, then I'm still there. Come what may.
So just that 24/7 being readily available for them.
Yeah, unfortunately for a lot of people that's a problem because they will say, oh, no, I do have my private life, I've got this and I've got that. I just feel with our current situation, I cannot take that approach because right now, they need more than what they would under normal circumstances.
So separating that whole teacher versus student dynamic and more finding a middle ground where you both can exist.
Very much. Unfortunately, that is the way I'm going and that is how I'm teaching.
And how long do you feel it will probably take with the current teaching and situation with the learners and the overall thing with teachers and students, how long do you think it would take for teachers to adopt that similar mentality, or do you think there'll never be that middle ground for some teachers? They just can't.
For some teachers, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you now that a lot of the teachers are realizing it, but there will be 5-7%.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say, listen, you know what? It's either my way or the highway. And I'm not prepared to change. Maybe because of past experiences, I don't know, but there will be teachers that will just say, you either adapt, you adapt to my style, or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't follow that. I can't. Not in the climate of today's society. Mm-hmm. So many things are happening, and our kids need so much more. Because you cannot say, well, it worked for me in my days.
Mm-hmm.
The type of kid we have now, we didn't have.
No.
10 years ago.
No.
You know? You can't adapt that same mentality. It's not working. You can see it in our kids today.
Yeah.
So you have to. You have to be adaptable as a teacher. And flexible. Because if you're not, you're going to end up leaving the education long before you are really ready.
So would you say if you don't actually adopt the sort of supportive teacher-learner relationship mentality, would you say that might be a quick way for a teacher to go down a road of becoming frustrated and
very
burnt
frustrated,
out?
Very burnt out, completely to the point where you feel teaching is not for you anymore. And you are then going to be more tempted to go into the private sector or just completely do something else.
Mm.
Because this environment will not be conducive to you. It's not going to be suitable for you.
So you would say maybe that human interaction, that relationship interaction, you feel that's very a key factor in involving and keeping teachers actually healthy.
Very healthy, because I can tell you now that if it wasn't for my way of doing things, I would have probably left already. because considering where I've been and the type of money that I earned,
yeah,
and what I earn now, like the people told me when they heard, they said like, are you crazy? How can you leave that for this? I said, but this is not about the money. It's about the kid. It's about my role that I play in their life. Mm-hmm. It's not about what you think. You're done. You've done your studies. You've come to the place where you feel I've made it. This child have not even reached that place yet. So I can't say, I don't want to help them because that's why I'm here. I'm here to help them. It's not about my ego. It's not about the stars and stripes and the titles and the status. Because what status does a teacher have in any case? You don't have any. Back in the day, yes. You were the meester or the juffrou. You had a certain status. That doesn't even exist anymore.
So
ultimately, what are you doing it for?
It's very selfless.
You're doing it for them because that's why you're here. Because you realize if someone don't take an interest in that child, their future, their life, what's going to happen?
Yeah. And how would you say, how long would you say it would take students to adapt to that? Or do you think, irrelevant of the teacher, students will never adapt to that type of approach? Or how do you feel that's going to work from the student's perspective?
I think students will adapt very quickly. Because the moment they realize that this person is changing their style to assist them, a lot will change. Because at the moment, a lot of what the kids does is just plain resistance. Mm-hmm. They just want to show you I'm angry.
Yeah.
I want to retaliate. I want to irritate the living daylights out of you. I want to prove a point, even if it is a negative one.
Yeah.
But once they see that you are willing to help them and you are willing to change, you're there to support
them,
they will adapt. Children are a lot more resilient than what we give them credit for.
Mm. But the ability to change and...
Yes, but it's up to us to see it.
Up to us to actually invoke that change.
And say, listen, it's okay, you can throw your toys out now, but you're going to come back, you're going to pick those toys up, and we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
We're going to try again and again until you get it right.
And that type of, shall you say, pushing, but also in a caring way.
Pushing and then pulling, and then pushing and then pulling back, even if it means twice as hard.
No, I fully agree there with you.
I'm not expressing it properly, but I think our kids, they don't want to admit it, but they need it. They need you to push them sometimes and then pull them back in. And then push again and then pull them back in. Because unfortunately, that is all they know. So you take a little bit of what they know and you bring them in, you reel them in, and then you give them something new.
Yeah.
You say, you know what? This is the, we don't have to fight all the time. There are other ways to do things.
Yes.
So.
No, I fully agree with you. Then my last question says, how much do you feel your relationship with your learners has played a role in their academic success with regards to mathematics?
I think actually a lot. It has played a big role because one of the kids, I think it was about a month ago, said to me, you know what, miss, the only reason that I took maths was because of you.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm being so evil and I'm the one that's always on your case, moaning about your hair and your uniform and this and that and that. There's forever something. I says, no, miss, but even though you nag on me the whole time, when it comes to the work, you're there for me.
Mm.
And that really blew me away because I was like, okay. Because I don't always think of it in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, and funny enough, that boy's doing relatively well for someone that they actually said, I've got no sense of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me the impression that, yes, my relationship, my attitude, does have an influence on their success. So I try and stick to something that I know will work, that will give positive results. So, I'm trying hopefully someday I'll get there.
So you would definitely say, in the absence of your, shall we say, personality and teaching approach, you would say there would probably be a vast difference in the achievement results or in the results.
Yeah, there would. Because if I have to measure my results to what was before,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge difference.
Oh, to pass grade 12 results. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had to put a, shall we say, like a time frame on it, how long would you say would maybe take you to get to that point of achievement where you want to be with your learners? Or do you feel it might need to be an approach where you take them from grade 8 and they're like your pet project until matric?
I was actually talking about that with my HOD because mm-hmm. I said we will have to adopt that style of teaching mm-hmm. at some point. Where, because getting them from grade 10 is all good and well,
mm-hmm.
but you still feel there's gaps.
Yeah.
You know?
In your opinion, yeah. there's gaps compared, yeah. yes.
There's gaps. So that would actually be a brilliant bar of mm-hmm. measurement to use and just see. Because at the rate I'm going, I still foresee it taking quite some time.
Mm-hmm. If you only teach the grade 10 to 12.
Yeah, it's going to take about easy 8 years still to get the results that you want, where you will get a group, you know, constant group of kids getting between 50 and 60 and above. Because
mm-hmm.
at the moment, we are still hovering in the midst with a 1 and 2 that's maybe really good, you know, the star students like your Reynos and your Walters and your, you know, that really does well, and Cezole and those people that does well, but the bulk is still hanging in the 40 range, and if you're lucky 50 range, you know. So that shift needs to happen, but it can only happen if you take a project of 5 years and you take them from grade 8 to classes, maybe from grade 8, and then take them straight through and see that mm-hmm. growth, see the difference,
mm-hmm.
and in the process realize where the gaps lie, because a lot of time it's just basic conceptual things that you need to fix,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you only realize it in grade 11, you go, oh crap, you know, and then it's sort of kind of too late at grade 11, you know, but you try nonetheless, because you just think, ah, no, there's time, they're not grade 12 yet,
mm-hmm.
you know.
No, that is true. What would you say would be your ideal average? Where would you want to end up?
My ideal average would be 60%
mm-hmm.
for maths. Not because I don't think that the kids have the ability to do more, but because I want to be realistic in the sense that a lot of the kids that take maths, they never go into careers that actually involve maths. But if you have a solid foundation and you would like to at a later stage, you know, make a change, then mm-hmm. you will have that foundation that you need. Because
mm-hmm.
to me, that would be a very good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, but I don't know how long we're going to take.
Now then, what would you say, even though some of the learners are struggling and might even be fearful of you, why would you say that then they don't drop the subject? Why do you even see them still staying on? Why do they never make that decision to say, okay, well, I'm just going to leave?
Some do, but for some, I don't know. I'm being very honest, because I've asked, and why are you still here? But they don't really give me an answer. Maybe they feel, I don't know. I've got to be honest, I don't know. Because, iffy.
Would you say maybe that is the case, because maybe even though they struggle sometimes academically, maybe they do see the huge impact that you are making?
Could be, it could be, but I'm honest, I've never actually
got a proper answer.
No, not from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And me trying to figure it out by myself is not going to help. Someone needs to say, no, but this is why I stayed. Mm-hmm. And I feel that you did make a difference, or that I can do this because you've inspired me for whatever reason. You understand? Because I haven't really gotten that feedback that I would like to know. Is it what? So yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm still at a loss for words there. I don't know.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. That was everything that I needed to ask. Thank you.